Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. Oh, we're going to be doing some celebrating this weekend when Tennessee beats down Auburn. The baseball team's going to keep rolling. Be safe out there. Uber. Call a cab. Walk. Rile the friend. I don't care. Just be careful. But if you do find yourself needing legal representation, East Tennessee's premier DUI defense lawyer is Marcos Garza and his team. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. You're going to want the best result possible in your case. GarzaLaw.com, 865-540-8300. Either method, you can get in touch with somebody 24/7, 365. We appreciate Marcos and his team for their support. If you find yourself needing a DUI lawyer, a criminal defense lawyer, or a personal injury attorney, Marcos Garza and his team can help you. All right, this episode we talk about the baseball team for a little bit. Seth answers some sheep questions. We talk about Tennessee basketball, where we stand, and the Ukraine-Russia conflict or war. Oh, God. Let's get to the episode.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass. He can't do math. He's an idiot. He gets his hair cut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you Thursday, February 24th. Seth Hughes joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. Good to hear your voice, as per usual.
Before we get started, got to get to something real quick. We have a game of sheep in the Discord I have to get into. So, are you familiar with what the game is? I'm going to let you play with me, Seth.
I have not played any at all yet.
Do you have an idea of what it is?
No, I do not.
Okay. Well, we need, it's sort of like Family Feud. You're just trying to think like a normie, okay? Think like a normie.
Okay.
What's the most popular answer for each of these? And then you get points if you have the most, you know, you get as many points as like people that agree with you, essentially.
Okay.
So we got to hurry and submit ours. So pick one of the four card suits.
Hearts.
Really? I think spades. You think hearts?
Yeah, I would have said spades second.
Now, is that you answering yourself or answering like a normie?
I can't really dissociate this question from not being... Like, this is a normie question to answer. It doesn't matter how weird I am.
Name a brand of television.
Samsung.
Okay, that's what I thought, too. I don't know if that's one that normies will answer. They'll probably say something like LG. Okay, name a cereal.
Captain Crunch.
Captain Crunch, you think that's going to be the most popular answer, Captain Crunch?
No, I don't. I think that Frosted Flakes will be the most popular answer.
It's actually really weird that you think Captain Crunch is the most popular cereal, too, or that's your go-to answer.
Yeah, I would say Frosted Flakes.
I was between Frosted Flakes and Cheerios.
Cheerios, yeah, that'd be two.
Friday night or Saturday night?
Friday.
Really?
Yeah, I'll say Friday.
They don't have any songs about, I mean, I guess they have, the NSYNC did have a song, but like, I thought it was like Saturday night. Like, Saturday is way funner than Friday. Well, I mean, if you work a real job, especially, like, you're tired on Friday, you just kind of want to relax. Saturday is the time you're supposed to have fun. All right, name a search engine that isn't Google.
Yahoo.
Really? Bing pops right into my mind. I feel like you're not good at this game.
I tried to think of like the two first search engines were Yahoo.
I would have went, what was it, Ask Jeeves before Yahoo?
Ask Jeeves was around that time too. Maybe Ask Jeeves like chronologically was before Yahoo, but I remember like when I was little, like using Yahoo more than Google before, like, making the swap over to Google. So I could see, like, boomers answering Yahoo.
I don't even think of Yahoo as a search engine anymore, really.
Like, I don't know that I've ever used Bing unless on accident when I'm having to be in a Microsoft browser.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've had two in Microsoft before, but...
because it automatically goes to that.
How many gallons of gas does your car hold? So not necessarily yours, but what do you think the most popular answer will be?
17.
That's how much mine holds. I went with 20, just hoping that people would do a round number. Name a liquor that isn't whiskey.
Vodka.
That's what I went with. Good. Okay, good. Will there ever be another Reed's Ranch shirt? Okay. Fuck you, whoever put this together. Yes or no, Seth? Do you think there'll ever be a Reed's Ranch shirt?
Yes.
That's what I went with.
When COVID ends, it's a COVID issue.
Hey, guys, look around. There's a shortage everywhere. Prices, inflation through the roof. Well, that's the game of sheep. You should play it with us sometime in the Discord. We play about 3 games a day.
That was pretty fun.
Yeah, yeah. I enjoy it. I enjoy it. All right, let's get to the actual episode. Tennessee, I guess, what are you looking for? What's more of the topic right now? The baseball team? Is it the win over Missouri? Is it the game ahead looking to Auburn? Or what do you look at?
I think Auburn. I mean, I think that is the biggest thing on the docket right now. I mean, it's... like, I watched all 3 games of the opening baseball series. Georgia Southern is good. Like, Georgia Southern is good. They were picked 1st or 2nd in the Sun Belt. They beat Georgia Tech this week, who's ranked, like, 15th or 17th. They're ranked either 1 ahead or 1 below UT. Like, Georgia Southern is good, you know. And Tennessee just kind of dispatched them with ease, except for that second game. It took a while to get going. But, I mean, like, they play Iona this weekend, who's absolutely terrible. Asheville last night's not very good. The Tennessee Tech's not bad, I don't think. I think they're supposed to be pretty good, but that game got rained out. So it's, like, hard to really get into a baseball yet, especially with Iona coming up, who is just absolutely horrendous. So it's tough to care. It's tough to get really excited about baseball until the Shriners Classic in Houston. But it is cool to see Ben Joyce throw 103 miles an hour.
Yeah, Tennessee had a couple guys. Tennessee, you know, maybe it's just the vacuum I'm in, but, like, I do see Tennessee get a lot of, like, national love between Joyce throwing, you know, anywhere from 101 to 104, from, you know, Dahlander getting the side-by-side Jacob DeGrom comparisons.
Yeah.
And from, like, you know, the pimp coat we wear now, like, after home runs, you know, it just feels like Tennessee is one of the it teams in college baseball.
Yeah. If you're cool on the baseball diamond, Rob Friedman, a.k.a. the pitching ninja, is going to find you, and he's going to tweet out videos of you. And he tweeted out videos of UT a lot last year. I mean, he loves Kirby Cannell. Like, when Kirby was, you know, just strutting on the field last year, the Florida series, when he was sitting them down just over and over and over again with that curveball. Like, Rob Friedman was tweeting videos of Kirby like crazy. Like, if you're cool, and if there is one thing UT baseball is, it is cool, then Rob Friedman's going to find you, and he is going to show you, he's going to show you to the world. And I mean, UT's gotten so much just publicity from him. People that never pay attention to college baseball that just see UT baseball clips because Rob Friedman is tweeting them out. And UT baseball is cool. Everything about it is cool. Like, you know, I mean, UT basketball is good this year, and they've been good a lot of times under Rick Barnes, but it's not necessarily always that they're cool. I mean, like, you know, Santiago Vescovi, I don't know that you would describe as, like, a cool dude. You'd probably describe Kennedy Chandler as cool. But
Vescovi, I mean, when he had the platinum hair, maybe.
But, like, the baseball team is just a different beast than any other on campus. I mean, everything about them is cool. Like, they hit a ton of home runs. They show no respect to anyone. They don't care who you are. They play as hard as you can possibly play. And they win games. Like, they win games with, like, maximum effort and also, like, a ton of swagger. You know, like, they're a little, you know, they're youthful at times in how they act, and they rub, you know, Dave Van Horn's still not over it. Dave Van Horn is still complaining about Tennessee. He's still whining about UT. But, like, at the same time, when you watch UT baseball, they always play as hard as you can possibly play, and they play the game the right way. It's just like, if you make Drew Gilbert mad, you're probably going to regret it. And they're just, they're very, very cool. I mean, just the program as a whole is extremely cool.
Going to be giving away a lot of tickets throughout the season to patrons, patreon.com/Reed's Ranch. But, you know, you're right, and I would add, you know, the Barstool baseball guy, the Jared
Carabas. Yeah, he tweets.
He loves Tennessee as well.
Yeah, and it helps when Tennessee, like when Jordan Beck does the bat flips that he does. And I mean, when Jordan Beck hits a home run and he knows it, it just looks really, really cool. And yeah, I mean, Tennessee baseball is just like that. They're just really damn cool. It's why they went out and got Chase Dolander, freshman All-American who could have transferred anywhere. He enters the transfer portal and immediately transfers to UT. Because Tennessee is really, really cool. Seth Stevenson, who's been leading off, he was drafted high. Like, he was drafted high just a couple of months ago. He didn't have to go anywhere after JUCO. He could have gone straight to the pros. He was drafted high enough to go to the pros. He didn't go to the pros. He turned down that money, which was not an inconsiderable amount of money to come play at UT. Logan Chambers, the best junior college player in the nation, is from Arkansas. Well, if you're from the state of Arkansas, you go play school, you go play baseball at Arkansas, but not Logan Chambers. He wanted to go to UT because UT is just cool. I mean, that's just a simple, like, Tony Vitello is just cool as hell. I mean, what else can you say? Like, they're wearing that big leopard jacket, and they're just cool. I mean.
Patron Lane put Wheaties for cereal. Who thinks Wheaties is the most popular cereal? It's not 1960 anymore.
Yeah, that's a boomer take, Lane.
It used to be a big deal to be on the cover of Wheaties, but the cereal's always been dog shit, I would imagine. Have you ever had Wheaties?
No, I've never had Wheaties. Like, I don't know any. Do people eat Wheaties?
I feel like I tried some before, and they weren't good at all. Nah, I think then they went with, like, didn't they go with, like, the, like, then they put a bunch of sugar all over it and try to get people to eat, didn't they, like, rebrand? Wasn't there some of that, or am I?
I have no idea.
Yeah. Cheerios won with 11, by the way.
Cheerios are good. I like Cheerios. Good for your heart, too. Good for your heart health.
I feel like Cheerios just has the best branding, because like you said, it makes you think it's good for your heart.
It's good heart health.
They had, you know, Omar from The Wire loved Honey Nut Cheerios. They had the little bee buzzing around. They had the Cheerios and the Honey Nut Cheerios. I mean, yeah, I mean, like, and they're not bad, actually. When I eat cereal these days, I pretty much just eat Honey Nut Cheerios, because I feel like it's good for my heart and that I'm not dying, even though it's probably just as bad for me.
Cheerios are good. This is a pro Cheerios podcast.
Cheerios, cool or not?
I say cool. What's cooler than having a healthy heart?
Living fast and dying young. In case you're interested, Friday night beat Saturday 24-20.
Interesting.
So that one was close, at least. Still think that's I still think that Saturday's cooler. DuckDuckGo says dumbass Brizzy, so that's good. All right, let's move on to Tennessee basketball. Nothing really to report from the Missouri game, right? It was pretty much what was expected. I will say, shout out to Kenny Chandler. That was probably his best overall game. He was dominant. I feel like he's hitting his stride.
Seems like sitting out the end of that Texas game has made a difference for him, in my opinion. I mean, like, I doubt Kennedy Chandler has ever played a game where he was not on the floor in crunch time unless he was fouled out. And, you know, we even said after that game that, like, you know, like, Barnes kept the five out there that got him back in the game, and that wasn't Chandler, so Chandler sat. But I feel like since then, he's really just been on another level. I mean, and then Tuesday night was just dominant, like, except for the free throws. We went, like, 15 of 19 from free throw line for the team. He missed all four, which is just bizarre, and I don't expect that to replicate itself. That was, like, the only blemish on his game. He was totally in control of the game. I mean, he almost had a double-double with rebounds. You know, yeah, he led our team in boards.
No turnovers either. And to me, the most promising thing was seeing him drop a couple floaters as well. Like, the floaters really hurt him earlier in the season. He wasn't making any of them. And now it seems like the floaters are going, and that's just going to open things up so much for him. So I'm really excited about how Candy Chandler is progressing. Brandon Hunley Hatfield showed some heart and actually showed some athleticism. That's another big takeaway from the game. That rebound putback was about as good as it gets for him.
He showed some life on offense. I don't have much to add about Tuesday other than, like, Tennessee was in a game where, like, Tennessee didn't have anything to gain from it. Like, at best, Tennessee was just going to hold serve. Like, it was a – I was dreading that game because there was just really nothing to look forward to. But Tennessee went on the road and beat a bad team exactly like they should have beaten a bad team. And there's – I think Missouri's only lost badly at home one other time in conference play. Like, people haven't been going to Missouri and just blowing the doors off of them like UT did.
Pretty much Arkansas. Arkansas has – semi-recently, but everything else has been really close. Like, Auburn lost there by one.
Yeah, they
Auburn beat them by one.
Yeah, Auburn beat them by one. They lost to Florida by one. They beat Alabama at home. They're not bad at home. Like, people don't just go in there and beat their brains out. But Tennessee did. So that was, like, at the end of the day, like, You can't get anything better than a road win in conference. Tennessee went and just handled their business. I still worry about, like, I feel like Tennessee has to get, like, 10 points from, like, the big man from the front court, 10 or 12 points a game from the front court. And, like, I mean, like, Fulkerson was just – he played 6 minutes.
Yeah, they said he has a hip pointer. He was out late, you know, in the Arkansas game as well, so – I don't know if I should expect him to play against Auburn. I would think that he would want to be there playing against his old coach and Bruce Pearl and hoping to, you know, get some revenge there for Bruce leaving. But, you know, I don't know if he'll be ready to go, and I do think Tennessee's going to need him.
I think Tennessee has to have him to beat good teams. I thought that it was – like, he obviously was hurt against Arkansas. It looked like it hurt when it happened.
And I thought he had a damn concussion.
Yeah, it looked bad, and seemingly he always takes these awful hits. I just thought the Arkansas game in general, like, I know after I was extolling the virtues of Chandler, like, he didn't play well against Arkansas. I also don't think a lot of that was his fault. Like, he got absolutely screwed over by some of those calls. I mean, just horrible charge calls. Just horrible charge. At this point in the season, they're giving Jalen Williams charge calls because he's taken a lot of them. If we're, like, some of these aren't even close that he's getting. And it just totally changed the direction of the game. I think that Tony Green called all 8 of the fouls on Kennedy Chandler and Vescovi. Like, I mean, something absurd like that. Like, the calls in that game were horrible, and that I'm not saying that the calls are why we lost. I felt like the Arkansas game was just one of those games where that happens to every team except Gonzaga because they play in the West Coast Conference. But you go on the road sometimes in conference and you just don't win. And I felt like that's what that was, more than Tennessee sliding back into their January-type performances on offense. Like, it was just a road game in a very hostile environment that Tennessee hasn't won at in over a decade, and they lost.
I guess a pretty hot team, too.
And I didn't feel like Arkansas was that much better than UT. I mean, I thought Tennessee played terrible, and they were, like, down 2 at halftime or whatever. Like, Tennessee played with them. Like, Arkansas pulled away.
Tennessee was up with, like, 9 minutes left in the game.
It was just one of those games where you go and you lose on the road in conference. I didn't think – like, I go back in that game. That whole game can be summed up in the first half to me, is just personally. Vescovi had back-to-back threes on, like, 2 possessions. And he was open on both of them, and he thought both of them were good. And he even started running back down to the other side of the floor after he shot one. And when he does that, it's automatic. You know that it's good. And both of them went in and rattled around and out. And, like, that was just a perfect summation of the game to me. Like, Vescovi thought the shots were good. He started trotting back down the other end of the court, and they somehow didn't go in. And it was just one of those games. Like, I expect us to beat Arkansas by 10 or 15 at home. I think Tennessee's decidedly better than they are.
Agree. No, so I don't know if I agree with the 10 to 15, but I think Tennessee will win against Arkansas when they come to Knoxville.
I think UT is like decidedly better than they are. Nothing has changed my mind about that. It was just one of those games that happens on the road in conference, and it was just the fouls, the absurd foul calls just magnified the, you know, they just magnified the game. I mean, that call at the end of the half against Chandler was just
pitiful.
It was pitiful, and it sucks because Barnes finally did what we've been wanting. Like, he finally just said, okay, this guy's my best player. He has to play even if he's in foul trouble. And the referee takes the game out of Chandler's hands. And when your best player has his third foul in the first half, it just really constrains you going forward. And he wasn't the only person in foul trouble.
I also thought Barnes did what we asked when it came to, you know, bitching about the officiating after the game.
Yeah.
That's one of the few times I can remember him actually being vocal. Like, we all remember when, you know, we lost to Purdue, him blaming Lamonte and not really defending his guys. But after Arkansas, he's basically like, this is ridiculous. This is bad officiating. And then he doubled down on it in the middle of the, like, you know, on Monday when he had his presser. I was like, yeah, I rewatched it on the weekend, still feel the same way.
Yeah, I feel like Barnes has been a lot more pliable this year. I feel like he's much less set in his ways than I thought he was, from just the way that he embraced the three-point shot this year to, you know, playing people with fouls like he didn't do another Purdue against Arkansas. He played all those guys that had four fouls, and he didn't, you know, like, he played them. He put Kenny Chandler back in with two fouls in the first half, and he got his third, and sometimes that's how it goes. But he kept playing Chandler. It took him a while. It took him longer than it should have, but he finally embraced the four-guard lineup, and he's running with it, and when, you know, and he's going with it. Like, he knows that's our best lineup, and everyone does too, and it's up to you to stop it. And, you know, so I feel like he's been less set in his ways than I would have ever thought, and I give him credit for that. I think he's done a good job with this team. Like I said, it took him too long to go to that four-guard lineup, but it's about to be March, and he's embraced it fully.
Pliable means easily bent, flexible, or easily influenced. And, you know, as far, my only critique really about Barnes right now is I think it's time to pull the plug on the Oroch and Hunley Hatfield minutes.
Yep.
Like, starting the game, like, it's three straight games we've come out and been in a hole where we just, like, don't come out and start well. And, you know, Missouri was terrible, but even they had a lead on us at the first TV timeout with that lineup. Yep. And then we put, you know, Ziegler and Fulkerson and Adu in, and then we immediately went on an 8-0 run. So, like, I've had enough of it. No more Oroch, Hunley Hatfield minutes, please.
The good news is
we started the second half with the two and still looked shitty.
The good news is, to me, is like, I wish he would change the starting lineup too. I don't know if he's going to, and I wish he would. But the good news is that Adu, however you say it, he played over double the minutes that Plavsich did. So it doesn't seem like Barnes is going to constrain Adu's minutes in favor of Uroš. Like, Uroš might get the start or whatever, but if he can keep playing double the minutes Uroš does, I'm pretty happy. And, like, I just, at this point, like, what really does starting Hunley Hatfield give you over starting Fulkerson?
Yeah, unless Fulkerson, I mean, he says he wants to come off the bench and, you know, it's a change of pace, whatever. But, yeah, I mean, it seems you're right about Adu. He's getting more minutes. You know, he doubled Uroš up in minutes. I think it was like 23 to 11. So, like, I don't have a problem with it through the games. I just don't want to see those two on the court together at all. Like, Uroš and Hunley Hatfield, I just don't like those minutes together at all, and especially starting a game. Like, it's just brings the energy down a little bit. Now, it's easy to pick it up. You know, 4 minutes ain't a big deal, but, you know, we could have been looking at a good team. We could have been looking at a 10-point deficit.
I agree. It can put you needlessly in the hole right off the bat.
Like, Kentucky came out, was up 8-2. And if we actually were shooting pretty well at that first, like, our guards were, like, but we could have easily gotten, you know, in a big hole. And now we're at home, that's one thing. But, like, imagine if we start that lineup against a mid-major team and they come out and Tennessee's down 10 early, and then you're just fighting uphill with all the pressure in the world up against you as, like, the arena's rooting against you. Like, I just think that's...
Yeah, you just start gripping. You just start gripping. Yeah. If Hunley Hatfield would just give you something on offense sometimes, I wouldn't even have as much a problem with it because Fulkerson likes coming off the bench. The one that really tilts me is Yurosh. Like, that's the one that really just grinds my gears. And it's like every minute that Jonas Adu can play is he shot like 1 of 8 against Missouri, but like, I don't care. Like, those are 8 shots against an SEC opponent that he got. Like, every minute he plays against an SEC opponent is so valuable to me. Like, it's worth its weight in gold because of the payoff it will have in the future, and the not so distant future, because he's already so much better than Yurosh. Like, maybe his passing isn't as good at the top of the key as Yurosh, but like, that's it. Like, maybe he can't seal as good as Yurosh does, but like, that's it. He protects the rim. He rebounds a lot better. Like, every minute that Adu plays is just so valuable to me. So I just want to see him get as many minutes as possible before a tournament game.
Do we win on Saturday?
And I don't know. We haven't. We've lost to them 6 straight times. My best friend Luke, he looked it up. The last time we beat them was in 2017, he said.
I don't know how we match up. Like, obviously, their front line is really good with Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith. But I do feel like our guards are much better than their guards.
Yeah, so I thought Dane made a pretty good point that, like, Tennessee's backcourt is the best in the SEC. Like, when you have the 3 together, like, they're maybe not the most talented, but, I mean, there's a definite argument to be made that those 3 together, and you could even put James, you could even say Josiah's, you know, you could count Josiah in that too. I mean, he's playing the stretch 4 at this point, at that point with those 3 guards in, but like, I think our guards are definitely better than them. I mean, I still, like, Auburn, and like, the entire season, we've talked about it, I thought Kentucky was better, because like, every time I watched Auburn, they would, you know, like, they should have lost to St. Louis at St. Louis, and St. Louis just gagged on themselves. You know, I watched the Connecticut game. They lost to Connecticut. Like, Georgia gagged on themselves. Missouri just gagged all over themselves. Like, when they played Kentucky, Kentucky had injuries. Like, but, I mean, they're still, like, what, 23-4 or something? I mean, they're still awesome. Like, maybe Kentucky, wait, like, I was listening to the Volquest podcast, and they were saying that we match up with Kentucky better than we do Auburn. And maybe that's true. I don't know.
I just haven't been impressed with their guards at all. And I've only watched probably 5 Auburn games this year, but I just haven't been impressed with their guards. And I think at home, our guards can really set the tempo and, you know, dictate what happens there. And, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to guard Smith at all. Like, it pretty much seems like it's going to have to be Josiah or no one else. So Josiah might have to play every minute that Jabari's in. And, you know, we have to hope and pray he doesn't get into foul trouble. But, like, Kessler, you know, at least we do have 2 big, tall guys to somewhat throw on him with Yurosh and I do. So, like, having him ready to play is a big plus. But are you going to be in attendance? You coming up for it?
No, I'm not. I'm going to watch it from home.
Boo. What a coward. I thought you were a Vol. I thought you were Vol'd up.
If we beat Auburn and beat Arkansas and beat Missouri. Let's say we finish 3-0. That puts us, what, 14-4 in conference?
Georgia, not Missouri, but yes. Puts us at 13-5.
Puts us at 13-5. Do we get a 3-seed? I say that locks us up as a 3-seed, right?
Yeah, I mean, assuming we might have to win the first Friday game or whatever in the SEC tournament, but I would think that'd be good enough.
I would think so, too. I was thinking about that. Like, that surely, that means you've beaten 3 out of the 4 1 seeds.
You would be now. It can always change, but like, Arkansas is currently in the top 30, and Auburn is too. So like, you could be 7-7 in the quad 1 with no bad losses. I think you'd be a 3-seed at that point.
I would think that would lock up a 3-seed too. And that to me is what I am personally shooting for.
Okay.
Like, I want a 3-seed badly. I was just curious what your thoughts were on that. I mean, I would think that would have to lock us up on the 3 line, but you never know. And winning Friday against what will probably be a decent team would certainly, that would absolutely be ironclad at that point if you were to win on Friday.
Have you decided to come to me, come with me to Tampa Bay yet for the SC tournament?
If we play on Sunday, if we're playing in a championship game, I'll be there.
You don't want to come spend the whole weekend with me? You're just gonna come down for one day? It's not Nashville. You can't just go in one day. What a lunatic. You're going to make a one-day drive to Tampa and back?
I'll fly. And yes.
Just come down for the weekend with me.
This is tempting.
Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Just a little boys' trip. Just think about it.
We'll talk about this offline. We'll talk about this offline.
Let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRant. It's my birthday week, by the way. Next week, or the SEC tournament week is. So, like, you know, if you need to write it off as a birthday trip, that's fine. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. No new patrons. 3 weeks in a row. God, these mother, you know what. All right, let's get to some questions. Have you seen any that are good?
Brother Jackie, a.k.a. The Law Dog.
Oh, oh, oh.
If a country were to invade America tomorrow and you were given a choice, would you choose to flee or get a free AK-47 from the government to help protect your city? First of all, I would like to issue a statement that I was obviously 100% incorrect in saying that I did not think there would be war. I was very wrong. I was totally wrong. I thought it was an op by the military-industrial complex to get money to try and take the reins back from the pharmaceutical-industrial complex that has been top dog in America for the last 2 years, but I was wrong. Russia did do the deed and invade Ukraine. I would take the AK-47 and protect my state, Jackie.
Yeah, I feel like if you say no, you're a real bitch.
Yep. If they were to come into North Alabama or the Southeast, I mean, how could you not? Yeah, I'm grabbing an AK-47. I'm not saying I'm some damn hero, okay, but I'm not a bitch.
Do you think quality of life is good enough in parts of Ukraine to die over, though?
I don't think.
Where are we going to flee to, I guess is what I'm saying. Like, either Mexico or Canada? Like, I mean, where are we fleeing to?
Yeah. I mean, I think that at some point, like, that doesn't even.
That's true. It just comes down to whether or not you're a bitch, I guess.
And, like, I think that sometimes there is a reason to fight without hope of victory, but sometimes there's not, too. But I think that when it comes down to your home, you have to fight for it. And so it doesn't even matter about where you can go as much as, like, you know, it doesn't matter if, like, you're living in a hovel in Ukraine, I don't think. Like, you're Ukrainian. Like.
If only Mel Gibson had thought that same way. Maybe, you know, in The Patriot, one of his sons would have stayed alive whenever he was like, I don't want to fight. I don't want to fight. The next thing you know, boom, somebody's dead. Then he got the message, but it'd be too late. It was too late. But yeah, we're going to fight. Thanks for the free AK-47. That's really sad. We shouldn't joke about this. Move on. Can you give me like the TLDR on this, by the way?
It has to do with NATO. I mean, I think that like Putin is like a USSR, a Soviet nationalist doesn't make sense. He's a Russian nationalist, but I think he also sees Russia's natural borders as being more of a Soviet-aligned image than a Russia image that it has been since, like, the year we were born. For the past 30 years, I think he sees it more as a Soviet-type image in his head, so that includes the Ukraine. I mean, Belarus also fired on Ukraine, so, like, I don't think he's going to invade Belarus. They're already a total satellite state. And I think if he could make Ukraine a satellite state, he would have been content with that. But they're obviously not going to. Ukraine wanted NATO admittance. And if that means if Ukraine is admitted into the NATO, that means that America is on his literal doorstep. And that is something that he cannot abide by. That is something he cannot let happen. He cannot let NATO, because NATO is America, be on his doorstep. And when you're in NATO, you get access to, you know, when you're in NATO, the troops you have are NATO troops. That means American troops. That means they have better hardware than the Ukrainian military has. I mean, we've seen that Russia has just cut through Ukrainians' military like their wheat. And it's time for harvest. Like, so I think it's just, it comes down to NATO. Like, he can't let NATO be on his doorstep. And that concludes Foreign Policy with Seth Hughes.
Frosted Wheats, by the way. Frosted Wheats was the Wheaties with, like, sugar on them I was thinking of. So I'm glad you said they were cutting through them like wheat. Next question.
Brother CB, if you are in Spire's 1951 club, you get to have a private outing with a Tennessee student athlete. What athlete are you choosing and what are y'all doing? The idea of these grown men paying to be in this club, that is just so, it's so unseemly and uncouth. It is unbecoming. I don't even want to answer it, but I would choose Jordan Beck because he's from North Alabama. There you go.
One of the track girls. I don't know. Like, this is creepy. I don't want to answer this. I'm not hanging out with any Tennessee student athletes. And if I had to be forced, like Seth said, maybe one of the baseball players, since they, you know, aren't on full scholarship, they deserve better things. Maybe take them out and buy them just a nice meal. But that's really creepy. I don't want to answer.
Yeah, it's very uncouth. It just creeps me out. Like,
how do you feel about the Spires Club? We haven't really discussed them. How do you feel about them?
I don't know. It just seems...
The interview they did in The Athletic just really, really turned me off.
Yeah, I agree. Something about them rubs me the wrong way. I don't know. Like, it is an absolute, undoubted good thing that Zakai Ziegler has the name, image, likeness deal that he has.
Oh, 100%. We have to get these guys paid. Like, I've been terrified about guys just transferring out because we're not going to be able to pay them. Like, it doesn't, but I haven't seen anything other than like selling t-shirts though. Like, I haven't seen any like big time deals. It's just been like all like, hey, fans here, buy all this shit and give us money and we'll take care of it. Like, I haven't seen any like big overall, we're actually connecting you with businesses outside of like, hey, we're doing some autograph signings.
Yeah. Then like the thing with me is that like, I have like this such deeply ingrained feeling in me that I don't give anyone my money. I don't know these dudes.
Hey, whoa, easy, chill out.
You know, who is Spire? I don't know these dudes. Like, why would I give them my money to, like, I don't know that it's going to Hendon Hooker. Like, Hendon Hooker needs a name, image, likeness deal too. So does Cedric Tillman. Like, but Zakai Ziegler, like, after reading that story about having to sleep in his car and avoid the train conductor, like, because he didn't have money to pay, like good. He deserves it. I'm glad. Like, his mom, like, I hope that she gets to come to more UT games. And, like, it makes me happy because he was about to quit basketball and you know, and he grew up from nothing and he's made himself what he is. Like, but, man, these Spire people, like, I don't know, man. Like, how do I know that I'm giving my money to something and it's going to what it's going to? Like, it's a weird feeling, man. It's a weird vibe.
It just needs to be bigger. Not Spire, but just like the deals need to be bigger. We need to see bigger results. Like, it's cool that these guys could sell shirts with their name on it and face on it, but like, we're talking about, you know, Oscar Tshiebwe at Kentucky getting, you know, $1 million, seven figures next year. Like, Zakai Ziegler is going to be one of the biggest stars in college basketball, or at least, like, you know, one of the more household names over the next couple of years. Like, we got to find a way to, you know, imagine if Kenny Chandler wanted to come back to school. I don't want to go to the NBA yet, but I got a one-time transfer in conference. I can make, you know, $5 million at Kentucky. See ya.
Yeah. Why is...
It's going to get disgusting. It's disgusting thinking about it.
What? Okay, like Calhoun's. That is an East Tennessee staple. Everyone knows Calhoun's. I'm not saying that their food is that great or whatever, but like everyone knows.
They're Alabama fans.
They are?
Yeah, they're Alabama fans.
I didn't know that. Like, why are they not doing something with a player?
They might be in Alabama. I don't know.
Like, that's what gets me is like the biggest car dealership. Who's the biggest car dealer in Knoxville?
You know, I don't know. To really answer that, I mean, there's a bunch. I mean, Toyota Knoxville's big.
Why does Toyota Knoxville not have Hendon Hooker on a billboard saying, come buy cars here?
You would think it would have been pretty simple.
That seems so simple to me, and I'm not a businessman any at all.
So far, like I said, we've got, you know, Chef Chandler shirts. We've got Ziggler on hoodies. And
who's buying those?
I've seen. See, that's the thing is, like, you feel obligated to. Like, I bought the baseball shirt because I'm going to the baseball games. I'm like, you know, these guys deserve some type of money. And, like, you know, I bought it. Now, I don't know how much money. They're probably getting, like, $1 or $2 a piece. I mean, they can't even get 30 cents a piece. I don't know because there's, you know, they say it's a deal with every athlete.
Yeah.
Now, like, the, you know, the other ones are probably, like, you probably get, like, a $10 cut maybe per shirt. I have seen the Ziggler ones out, but that's about the only one I've seen out in the wild so far.
Yeah, if I was going to buy a shirt, it would be from Ziggler. Like, Kenny Chandler is going to be a millionaire soon, but, like, Ziggler is the one to me that, like, just... He's the first Tennessee athlete where I've seen one of them get a name, image, likeness deal, and I'm like, this is very, very good. This is like an absolute good thing. But the Spire Group, man, I just get a snake oil feel. I get a snake oil feel to them. No offense if they're listening.
We immediately got, we are already at the, we need $25 million. We thought raising $3 million would be cool. We need $25 million. That was in the Athletic article, so.
Well, I mean, I guess it's good to have dreams, Spire. They're certainly not, they're certainly shooting for the stars, which I guess is commendable.
I also didn't necessarily know if what they were saying was legal. They're talking about having all this money lined up for recruiting classes, and, like, I don't know. It just
seems like some of that's going to get shut down.
Yeah. Or maybe it'll just be the complete Wild West, and hopefully we're on the right side of it. But I just don't know if we have big enough guns so far. I'm a little worried about what we have here in Knoxville.
Yeah. I agree.
What a weird question by CB. I know he's being facetious because that's what they're promising people, like a birthday message from players. I mean, all that it's just I don't know, man. I don't know. Let's move on.
Brother Blue Moon Ball asks, Irish Catholic or Roman Protestant, which makes absolutely zero sense. Absolutely zero sense. I have no idea what he's trying to ask. Maybe he meant Irish Catholic or Roman Catholic, in which the correct answer is Roman Catholic because the Irish should be excommunicated from any and all dialogue, period. But there is no such thing as a Roman Protestant. I mean, there are Italian Protestants, I'm sure. My best friend Luke is an Italian Protestant, but I think he means Roman Catholic. Actually, I'm not sure what he means, but...
I doubt he knows either.
Brother Lane, Russia or Ukraine? If you mean who's going to win the war, well, I think the war has been won. But I think that normal people should be on the Ukrainian side. And I think they are on the Ukrainian side. I don't think there's any excuse for what Putin has done. Brother Bruce asks, a win Saturday would be our biggest win since.
Is the win on Saturday bigger than the win against Kentucky earlier, you know, like last week?
I have no idea. I mean, I still think Kentucky's better than Auburn. Like, and maybe they're not without Ty Washington. Maybe they're not without Ty Washington. But, I mean, I think it was really impressive for Tennessee to beat Kentucky like that after losing the way they did. So I don't know if it would be bigger than Kentucky.
Kentucky's a bigger rival, but like you said, we haven't beaten Bruce in a long time. He's a thorn in our side. It was annoying hearing him hype up this Tennessee team. Talk about how it'd be better than it'd be just as tough as a Final Four game. Saying that it was, you know, this is the best team Tennessee's had since 2019, and I'm like, bro, it's like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
what are you talking about? What are you trying to do? I mean, I am not willing to say that Saturday is bigger than the Kentucky win.
Yeah.
Ask me again if we do win, but as of right now, I would say no.
Yeah, it's tough for me to say yes because beating Kentucky is beating Kentucky, and you know it doesn't matter how many times you do it. It doesn't matter. Like the fact that like Rick Barnes always beats Kentucky at least once, sometimes twice, doesn't lessen any time he beats them to me. Like it's Kentucky.
It makes it better.
Like it doesn't like you know like it's amazing. Every single time you can beat Kentucky, it does not matter, period. It's amazing. But on the other hand, you can't discount Bruce Pearl and just the inability to beat him, and how much it has sucked. And you've exercised the Will Wade demon. It would be very nice to exercise the Bruce Pearl demon. And maybe at some point, maybe in the SEC tournament, we can exercise the Nate Oates demon.
Personally, I just think Kentucky's much better than Auburn, too.
Yeah, I agree.
Like the net ranking agrees. Like, Kentucky is number 3. Yeah. Auburn's number 11. So, like, Tennessee's better than Auburn anyways. Like, Tennessee's going to be favored probably by, like, 2.5 or 3 points. I just think they're better, and it's a better resume win, too. So, I'm going with the Kentucky game. Next question.
Brother Rhino, who chooses Joy. For both, which of these middle-of-the-pack teams would you most and least want to play in the SEC quarterfinals, a.k.a. the Friday game?
Okay.
Alabama, LSU, Florida, Mississippi State, and South Carolina. I would most want to play Mississippi State.
Yeah, I would most want to play Mississippi State.
I would least want to play Alabama.
I'd least rather play LSU.
But I would not look forward to playing Florida on that Friday if they win and they're in. I do not fear LSU currently at all.
I think LSU is better than Alabama, though. I think Alabama, I mean, they're not a good three-point shooting team. They just shoot so many damn threes. Like, you might catch them on a bad night, but you also might catch them on a dog shit night where they can't make anything and you can comfortably beat them.
Yeah, their defense sucks.
Vandy should have beaten them.
Yes, they should have. They gagged it away. And it I watched that game, and it kills me how many free throws Pippen Jr. gets. It's so absurd. That's all he did.
He was like, what, 19 of 21 or something crazy like that?
It's just as absurd as Jalen Williams is getting all these charge calls. The amount of free throws Scottie Pippen gets is way crazier. I mean, it is way crazier. Let's see here. He had 26 points, and he shot 5 of 13 from the field and had 26 points. He went 14 of 18 from the free throw line. He shot 18 free throws. LSU does not faze me at all right now, but I think you can make that argument for all three of those teams. I mean, Florida scares me the least of the three. It's just if they were to win that Friday win and get in, I wouldn't necessarily want to face that.
Yeah.
Just because their backs are against the wall, and if Appleby gets hot and Colin Castleton is really, really good. But I also South Carolina's playing good. South Carolina's playing good. I was wondering what they would have to do to get in until I looked them up on KenPom, and they're in the 80s.
Yeah, they had two really bad losses. They lost to, I want to say, Princeton and Coastal Carolina. Coastal Carolina beat them by 20.
I think Wofford too, didn't they?
I don't know, but they have to basically make the SEC championship. They do have two big chances. They do play they have two good road games. I want to say it might be Auburn and Kentucky, or I don't know. It's two of the top teams. Maybe Arkansas. I don't know.
But I think that I would rather if we were playing a game tomorrow night, just a regular season game, I think I'd rather play Florida than South Carolina right now. South Carolina looks pretty good.
Florida's been playing better too, though.
Yeah.
Since Castleberry got back or whatever, they've been playing better.
You know, you make up a good point. Every time I watch Alabama, they never look good. They never look good. They might win, but I didn't really think they looked good against Arkansas.
They did. They should have lost. They should have lost.
You know, it's they didn't look good when they beat Tennessee. They looked amazing against Gonzaga, but that was a long time ago.
I think Arkansas would beat the fuck out of them if they play in the SEC tournament. If they play neutral site, they eked out that win at home. You know, as Note and Amidu or whatever, however you say his name, had 4 fouls the whole game, or was in foul trouble the whole game. No, I don't think Alabama's good. That would be my top choice, honestly.
Alabama they suck at defense.
After Mississippi State, because Ben Howland's a dead man walking.
Yeah, they suck. Alabama sucks at defense. They're 79th on KenPom. And they just, LSU's 106th in offense on KenPom. Yeah, so I'd rather play Mississippi State than anybody. They suck. Howland has to be gone. So
he will be. Whenever we played them and they were only half full, that's a pretty good indication that it's coming to an end. Give me a couple more. We'll get out of here.
Brother Wheezy, a.k.a. Marwan, a.k.a. the Palestinian Playboy, would you lock in losing this weekend and then winning out, I assume that means winning the SEC tournament.
No. This dumbass probably just means beating Georgia and Arkansas.
Okay, or roll the die. So I say absolutely not.
Who the hell would do that? I mean, if I would lose to Auburn to win the SEC championship.
Yeah, I would too. So the reason why I said that specifier was because I assumed he had to be talking about winning the SEC tournament. If he is just talking about the last three SEC regular season games, then no, I don't roll the dice. I go into this game because Tennessee hasn't lost at home.
Yeah. I think I would rather just beat Georgia and Arkansas than, you know, have a chance to beat Auburn and then beat Georgia and Arkansas. Or would you rather beat Auburn or win the SEC championship and maybe even the national championship since you said win out? That's so stupid. What a dumb question by the Playboy. Do you have a best dad joke? DF asks.
I do not. I'm not a dad.
What do you call a fish with no eyes?
I don't know. Okay. Express. I don't even know what to say. I mean.
You get it?
I get it. There's no I in the fish.
Yeah. Huh?
Dylan will be happy.
Okay, well, good podcast. Anything else?
No, I love you.
I love you. I'll see you in Tampa.
I look forward to it, buddy.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
My nail tech knows how to keep it a little secret. I don't wish for my success, I speak it. I caught a buzz and you did too, but you tweaking. I look like I've been getting money, how reeking. You smell me, that's LV. Walk around with my chest out and my skin smooth, I'm healthy. I'm in a mix and I'm handshaking, but most of y'all can't help me. Most of y'all ain't wealthy. Most of y'all just dress like it. I caught the vibe that y'all giving off, and I'm trying to make myself less like it. This chick got a little Porsche body. I might let the bro test drive it. It's hard for me to get excited. I love music and stress about it. My city hauling, I'm co-signing this wave coming up next out it. Riding around in the shotgun and her Tesla. Hanging both of my legs out it like, what's up? I got stakes and they too high now, I can't fuck up. I like girls that's down to earth, so don't be stuck up. I don't take L's, I give them out and I chuck them up. First listen, they hearing this shit like, what the fuck? 10 toes, that's my M.O. Fam over gram, that's my M.O. Fuck a close friends, I got friends that I keep close. And they let it go while I reload. Like, bow, bow, bow. TSA just opened my book bag up and my chain hitting like, bow, 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 bow. King's back in his hometown when them wheels hitting, I touch down, they she down low, 3-point stands. I'm back there doing jack dance like and I'm not no fashionista, but I'm fly though. And I know I gave up drinking, but I'm high though. I told her I don't come from here, but you could try though. I'm not on top of this shit yet, but I'm that guy though. I take a look round at my comp and it's just wide open, big whip and it slide open. I notice they treat me like I'm chosen. Eyes open, heart clean, and my mind focused. This shit just keeps going how I wrote it. How the hell did you doubt us? I mean, back then it made sense, but it's like, now what? Now they down to come around just to be round us. You ain't one of my dogs, why do you hound us? It's very few of you I like, but it's a whole lot of y'all I don't trust. Cause 10 toes, that's my M.O. Fam over gram, that's my M.O. Fuck a close friends, I got friends that I keep close and they let it go while I reload. Like, bow, bow, bow. TSA just opened my book bag up and my chain hitting like, bow, 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 bow. The King's back in his hometown when them wheels hitting, I touch down, they, bow, 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 bow. She down low, 3-point stands, I'm back there doing jack dance like, bow.